Hi everybody, welcome to our morning devos. Today's chapter is Acts chapter 12. As usual, I'll read the chapter for us before I share some thoughts. This is Acts chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending, after the Passover, to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up, quickly," and chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street. And immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. Now when day came, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered that they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, he asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Amen. At the start of our chapter, we see that King Herod has set out to quench this fledgling movement known as Christianity. Verse 1 says, he laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. And based on at least the two people that are mentioned here, you can see that he was actually pretty strategic about it. He killed James, the brother of John, and then arrested Peter, both of whom were not only part of the original 12 disciples, but also those who were actually kind of in that inner circle with Peter, James, and John, who were with Jesus. So these early Christians, they've already been facing persecution. You might remember back in Acts 8 that great persecution arose in Jerusalem, forcing many to leave their homes and to be scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. So in a sense, the persecution part isn't necessarily new. It doesn't make it any easier, of course, but it's not a new thing. But I imagine that this felt different. James and Peter were some of the top leaders of the early church. And so I imagine that all of this felt at least a little bit more frightening. You know, their leaders have been arrested. There may have been some who started to wonder what would happen of this movement. Having said that, look at how the church responded. In verse 5, we read that earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. People were getting together, the church was getting together to pray, and that's awesome. And what's even more awesome is that in the following verses, we read about how God rescues Peter from prison. Though he was bound with two chains between two soldiers and several other sentries standing guard, Peter was led by an angel out of the prison without struggle or altercation. The chains literally just fall off of him. He's able to walk through the doors and he leaves. In fact, it was so surreal that Peter didn't even realize it was real life until he had completely stepped out of the prison. So praise God for that. But here's where things get interesting, I think. All of this is obviously interesting, but look at what happens next. Peter decides that his first stop will be the house of Mary, the mother of John, because he knew that was where many were gathered together and would be praying. So he knocks on the door. A servant girl shows up, but she gets so excited to hear Peter's voice that she doesn't open the door and instead immediately runs inside to tell everyone that Peter is at the gate. Now, how does everyone respond? You would think that since they've been praying for him since his arrest, that they would be excited, they would be overjoyed, they would run to the gate and open it up for him, but no. In verse 15, they say to the servant girl, "You are out of your mind." But she, her name is Rhoda, keeps insisting that it was so, that she had heard the voice of Peter, but they say, you know, "You're out of your mind," or "It must be his angel." In short, they don't believe her. They don't believe that Peter has actually come out, escaped the prison, and is standing at their door. Now, I want to focus the rest of our time on this. Remember, again, back in verse 5, we read that earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. People were earnestly praying for Peter, and maybe they were even praying for him while Peter was, the angel led Peter out of the prison cell, while he was walking to Mary's house. But when they get word that Peter was there, he was literally at their door, even though their prayers had been answered, they didn't believe it. They thought that Rhoda was out of her mind. All of which begs the question, what exactly were they praying about? What were they expecting would happen as a result of their prayers? As I said earlier, it is commendable to see that the church gathered to pray during those trying times, rather than reacting through fighting or hiding or strategizing, they prayed. And that's awesome. It's important that we, too, in our lives, turn to God in prayer at all times for all circumstances. It can be really tempting to immediately turn to action planning and retaliating or just kind of curling up in a ball, whether literally or metaphorically, when things come up and when things get difficult. But our first step and the foundation, the groundwork for any actions we take next must be prayer. But I think what we see here is that it's not only important that we pray, we must pray with faith. Now, you would think that those two go hand in hand, but unfortunately, the reality is that they don't always do, or at least in terms of the way that we practice it. I talked about this a little bit at a recent new song, but I think it's sometimes possible for some of us, as followers of Jesus, to pray with little to even no actual faith. We might set aside time to pray. We might say all the right words. We might pray because that's what we know we're supposed to do. But in the end, it's possible for us to do all of that and not really think much will happen. But brothers and sisters, we serve a mighty God. And though he might not do exactly what we ask, he will do what is best and will often do it in powerful ways. Miraculous ways, in the ways that only he can. I mean, think about again just how Peter escaped the prison. He could have been brought out in any other way, but it was done in a miraculous, only a way that God could do it. And in some ways, we shouldn't be so caught off guard when God does powerful things and our prayers are answered. This isn't to say that we shouldn't be amazed, that we should just kind of look at it and just shrug our shoulders and that's it. The supernatural always inspires awe and wonder, but our response shouldn't be, "That's impossible," or like the disciples did here, that "You're out of your mind." It should be, "That's impossible for us." But you know, it's possible for God. Are there things in your life that you've been praying about, but if you're really examining your heart, maybe without much faith? Maybe you've been praying for someone you know and love to come to know Jesus. Or maybe you've been praying for physical healing for yourself or someone else in your life. Maybe you've been praying for a revival on your campus, your neighborhood, within a group of friends or family. whatever it is that you've been praying, if you've been losing hope, maybe you've been doing it, you've been going through the motions, but haven't really been expecting too much out of it. One, I urge you to be persistent, to be steadfast in your prayers. But as you do so, in some ways, even more importantly, to be persistent in holding on to faith, knowing that our God is able to do all things. So pray with faith. As Jesus said, faith even the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Let's pray with faith. Let me just end with a quote from a pastor named Max Lucado. It's a quote that I love when it comes to prayer. And he once said, "Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that we serve a mountain-moving, powerful God. And Lord, that you hear us and you respond. Lord, help us to be like the disciples and that they prayed in this moment of crisis. But Lord, help us to take the extra step, the necessary step of praying in faith, knowing that you are able to do what we ask and immeasurably more. So Lord, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, whatever things that we may have been praying for some time, help us to be persistent, to be steadfast, and to pray continually with faith, trusting that what you have in store for us is good and that you will move and work in power. So once again, we thank you that that's who you are. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.